Jesus's enemy was religion. What Jesus was doing was going at the religious leaders. And he, I feel he, the message he's been, God's been speaking to me. And the message he's been getting across to me is that he sent me from heaven. He sent us from heaven to earth to fulfill his will. And I'm created in his image. There's God in here.
And are you with these guys?
No, I'm not.
Not. You're just walking through. This, I got to warn you, this is false man-made religion. This is what you talk about. This group here is with the Pentecostal, NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, Bill Johnson out in California, Signs and Wonders. You see my sign. Check this out. So Sean Fuchs is here. He's the guy. Cowboy hat and shorts. Exposed. I have an article on him. The Bible says to expose those that are in sin and false teachers.
Okay.
Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Jesus said, in the last days many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. Many. Yep. This man is teaching teenagers, youth, everybody, a false Jesus. Paul warned of a false Jesus.
You know, I
2 Corinthians 11:4.
I know the Christ. I know Yeshua the HaMashiach. I know that he's an anointed king. I know that he's alive in me.
He has a king and he has a kingdom.
That's right.
And we must be born into his kingdom.
That's right.
There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. They're working for the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
With their false ways. How do we know? How do we know we're of the kingdom of God? Careful now. This is really critical.
You answer that. Teach me.
When the Pharisees challenged Jesus, he didn't say, just believe me because of what I say. Jesus said, test my doctrine.
That's right.
Test my words and prove me. So what I've done, you see that testing on the other side.
Right.
Don'tperish.com is my large website for free. We don't want anybody's money. I want you to open the scriptures, read the Bible for yourself. Jesus said, test me to my doctrine. You know if you're of God, if your life, your ways, and whatever spirit is guiding you to the word and the truth. Jesus said, John 4:24, we must worship in spirit and in truth. This is not the truth. This is a false Jesus. This is worldliness. This is emotionalism. And I had a young saint in Australia say it perfectly. Do you know what she said? She said, they're worshiping worship. Think about this. Dancing around. Jumping up and down, all this emotionalism, they call that worship. They're worshiping the music and the emotionalism that's worship. Who are we supposed to worship? How do we worship him? In soberness, in holiness, not in the flesh. This is fleshly music. Nobody dances and jumps around until the music starts. Then that's fleshly. It's totally flesh. And I have all kinds of articles on my website to prove this. So make sure that whoever you're following, I'm not saying you're not, Yeshua, you're right, that's his Hebrew name. Yeshua means salvation. Whoever you're following, however you're following, whatever you're doing, lines up to Scripture. And I teach on my website what the New Testament looks like. Do my wife and I look like we belong to this culture? Do we? Do we look like, do we follow the culture?
Well,
no. You know why? These are our temples.
Yeah.
We're following Yeshua. Let's use the name you brought up. And Yeshua calls us out of everything. He calls us out of the culture. He calls us out of false man-made religion. He calls us out of our flesh. We used to be worldly drunks and partiers.
Yeah,
we weren't
same
born this way. Yeah. So he calls us out of all that. And the only way you know you're of God is if you are on a narrow path and most of the world and the religious systems stand against you and either stand against you or in my case, because I'm a street preacher, they hate you. They call the police on you. I got beat up 3 months ago outside a Baptist church on a public sidewalk by their security guards. And the pastor approved of it.
Yeah, right.
He was the reason that they came out and did it. And so what I'm sharing with you is test yourself. Go deep in the Word of God. Don't get involved with Sunday, Saturday, whatever, man-made religion in America, because they have left the truth of God to build, fill up buildings, to propagate man-made traditions. Christmas and Easter, these are pagan holidays that God never ordained.
Then
I got to warn you, you mentioned the word Yeshua. Be careful. There is a false group around called Hebrew Roots. Are you familiar with this?
No.
I have teachings on it. They teach you to go keep Torah. They teach you to wear tassels. They teach you you shouldn't eat pork. They basically teach you that you have to be a Jew today like the Jews were in Israel to follow Messiah. That just is not true. That's not true. That law, those 613 laws were given to the nation of Israel.
Yeah, right.
We're
I'm
in the new.
Good. I'm under grace.
We're under the new, but we're still under law. We're still under law. There's a moral law because you don't kill.
You don't commit adultery. You don't fornicate.
And grace. So be careful. I have a whole bunch of articles on Hebrew Roots because they're very good at taking people from this. So here's the narrow road to eternal life, right? I love to teach this. You listen too, Justin. This is the narrow road. people are in the ditch of Sean Fuchs, NAR, Signs and Wonders. They find out this is wrong. You know what they do? They run across the road of truth into the ditch of Hebrew roots. If they would study and pray, go, Lord, that's wrong. And God would go, here's where I want you. The narrow road. So be careful. Don't run out of anything into anything. Study, pray, go to the scriptures. Don't trust a man. Don't trust anything I say. Read my website and my teachings and then go to the Word of God and say, he's right or he's wrong. And if I'm right, which I believe I am per God's Word, contact me. I want to be your brother. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. If I'm wrong, you should love me enough to go, hey, you're wrong on this. And I want to hear you, and I'll listen. And you come and you tell me, and I'll listen.
Yeah, we'll pull the truth out.
And we'll get the truth out. Because if I got it wrong, because I always tell my brothers, one of us is wrong. Maybe both of us are wrong. We got to get to the truth.
Yeah, right.
These places don't do that. What they do is, here's what they say. What's your first name?
Marcus.
Marcus?
Marcus.
Here's what they say, Marcus. Oh, doctrine don't matter, man. Let's just all get together in unity and love God. Now, let me ask you a question, Marcus. How do you follow Jesus if you don't have doctrine? Do you know how to follow him? If you don't have doctrine? He says, do this, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. We go, we don't need all that. We just follow Jesus. This is how you follow a false Jesus. He says, keep my commandments. He said, why do you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments? He said in John 15, 14, you are my friend. Not if you live any way you want. Not grace covers you no matter what. If you keep my commandments. The new law, not the 613.
Yeah, right.
And you mentioned grace. I always like to tell people this. Grace is not something that you get automatically. You ever been to court?
I have.
You been to court?
Yep.
All right, let me give you a scene. You go to court. They got you on video doing a crime. The judge, right? They always got them sitting up higher, don't they? The judge who has the say over your next 5 years maybe go to jail. And the judge says, Marcus or Justin, I'm feeling graceful today. I feel like I'm mercy. We got you on video robbing this gas station, whatever. You admit you did it. Yeah, I did it, judge. I see that you have very little criminal record. Yeah. Tell you what. What say you? And depending upon what you say, I can give you 5 years in jail, or the grace and mercy of this judge today says, I might give you 6 months probation, and if you don't come back again, it's over with. And you stand in front of the judge, and this is where you must become eligible for grace. Think about this. They all say you get grace no matter what. Not so. The Bible didn't teach that. You stand before the judge, and you go, yeah, Marcus, yeah, you got me robbing that gas station. I did it. You know what, judge? You let me out. I'm probably going to do it again. I'll do other crimes. I'm just a criminal. I'm going to do it. And the judge goes, I think you're making a mockery of my courtroom. Bam! 5 years in jail. I'm going to teach you a lesson, young man. Right? What righteous judge would let you go? Now, Justin comes up, same situation, and he goes, Your Honor, please give me a chance. I was desperate. I was hungry. I never should have did that. Give me a chance. I will keep the law. I'll get a job. I will do everything I can. Please give me a chance. I want to go clean. And the judge goes, I see something in you. 6 months probation. Don't come back in my courtroom. And it's gone. Do you see how you became eligible for grace? You didn't just get it because it's automatic. Grace only covers you. This is really big. Grace only covers your sin that you're willing to forsake. So if I was this is my wife, Debbie. If I had a mistress on the side and you were my brother and you knew about it, what would you say to me?
I'd give you the word of God. I'd pull scripture.
Mm-hmm. And you'd say what? That's sin? Whoa, good catch, honey. Good catch. What a partner. You would say that's sin? This is Justin, by the way. You would say that's sin, and I'd say, well, yeah, so what? What do I got to do? And what would you say to me?
Repent.
Right, and that means leave the mistress, right? And okay, Marcus, if I do that, will God forgive me?
Sure.
Okay. Marcus, I really like my mistress. She's cool. I want to go back there a couple times a year. I think I'll keep her. God still forgive me?
Not sure.
He won't.
I'm not sure.
He won't. So
I don't believe.
Hebrews 10:26. Again, all these people teach, raise your hand, say a prayer, you're going to heaven no matter what. The gospel is faith in Yeshua's shed blood and his resurrection. He covered our sins that we will repent of. He died to rise again to defeat death. Death is coming for us. That's the first part of the gospel, faith. They start there with a false Jesus and they end there. Repent. Identify what's sinful. Identify what goes against my God. Psalm 119:104 says, God hates all false ways. We need to hear this language. Psalm 11:5 says God hates those who love violence. These NFL players that think they're Christians and they love tackling guys and they love watching video games and MMA fighting. The Bible says God hates those. He destroyed Noah's day, people in Noah's day, for violence. Psalm 5:5 says God hates the wicked. These people tell me all the time, oh, God's love. God is love in his perfection. In his justice, he hates sin. And so, faith in this Yeshua. Repent. Be willing to lose all your sin. Come out of the culture. Come out of man-made religion. He'll give you a new heart and new mind. We're born again.
Right.
Yep. So we're born again and we're enlightened. We start seeing things we never saw before. The Word of God becomes alive to us. I read that verse 50 times. I never read it and never meant that to me.
Ephesians says you'll come to know the mystery of your will, the mystery of your inheritance.
Yeah. And you know what I like to say? I like to say that people say, what do you mean by that, becoming born again and understanding that? I like to say this. If I gave you directions to the Teton Mountains, you ever been there?
I haven't, but I am born again. I surrendered my life to God. I've already died. I died with Christ Jesus and come alive.
Yes. So I'm
resurrected with Christ.
I want to give you my example. So I tell you about the Teton Mountains, and I give you the directions to get there. And you go, yeah, you get on this highway, go this way.
I love how you're making this come alive.
Go this way. And I like using parables because my master did. So I give you the directions, and I go, Marcus, you got to go. You got to go here. And you go, yeah, all right. And I go, get on this highway. Drive 8 hours. You turn here, and you go through this windy pass, and you get there. And it's incredible. And you go, ah, cool, man. Sometime I'll check it out. And you walk away. If you ever go and get there, and you ever stand there, and you ever see the majesty of them, meaning you've been born again, right. You've been there. Yeah. Now you go tell Justin and go, man, you got to go on this road. You got to see these things because you've been there. You've experienced it. I just told you the same directions, but you didn't get it because you hadn't been there. It hadn't happened to you. Now he goes and he goes, whoa, I see what they're talking about. These things are like looking at a postcard. They're breathtaking. You want to see the magnificence of God? Go to the Teton Mountains and stand in front of them. They are like a painted postcard, a million times bigger, and you just go there and go, the fool says in his heart there is no God. So that's being born again. A light goes on. Heart and mind change. The fruit you're born again keeps going. Faith, repentance, you're born again. The fruit you're born again is what we talked about. That striving in holiness and obedience to the scriptures. Testing everything. Testing Brother James, me. I don't think he's right about that. He's wrong about that. He's got this and this wrong. Come to me, and if I don't get it right, he's teaching false doctrine. I can't unite to false doctrine because what the Spirit does, it brings unity. The true Spirit of God brings unity. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound serious? He's beseeching in the name of the King of Kings, the Master Creator of the universe, that you all speak the same things, be united in one mind, fully knit together in perfection. That ain't this place. Everybody in America is Pentecostal, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, this, that. And they're all going like this, going, well, we'll all get along. We don't agree. We'll all get along. That's not biblical unity.
That's not truth.
Right. That's not biblical unity. Last part of the gospel. You must endure. If you have the hope of the gospel today, if you die today, you're guaranteed eternal life. No doubt. Tomorrow, you better be walking after Jesus. Next week, you better be walking after Jesus. Next month, next year. I have a marriage. It's a successful marriage right now. Do I have to continue and strive in it? Or could I ruin it?
I think you can answer that.
Yeah, but when you bring this stuff up to these people and I say, well, wait a minute. They like relationship with Jesus. See, this is another thing. This is huge. Relationship with Jesus. You will not find that anywhere in the Bible. The Bible does not teach that. You and I can have relationship. You're here. I can hug you. We can talk. I can see your eyes. I know you're here. I hope Jesus isn't like meeting in your living room like that. He's not. He's at the right hand of the Father. You know what we have today? This is beautiful. You'll appreciate this. Yeshua, we have a covenant. He had one with Adam and Eve. God's always been a covenantal God. He had one with Adam and Eve. And he was personally. If anybody could say they had a relationship with God, it was Adam and Eve. He talked right with them. They heard his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
The prophets, Abraham, had a covenant. He talked right with God. Israel had a covenant. Now, most of them didn't get to hear God directly. Moses did. Moses had a covenant.
Yeah.
And he would have said, I have a relationship with God. God comes and talks to me. I met him. I've seen him.
I am.
I had to cover. Then Jesus comes. And Jesus tells us this little thing that nobody wants to remember. Jesus said, I must go. You imagine you're with Jesus. You're living your whole life with him. And he tells you, I got to go. I'm losing my master. And he said, don't worry. in John 14, John 16, I will send my Holy Spirit and he will manifest himself
right.
to you. Now, manifest doesn't mean that Jesus appears to you in a physical form like these people say. The Shekinah glory is up in the corner of the building. These are false signs and wonders. Jesus is talking to me out loud. False signs and wonders. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is what you and I are talking about. That inner, I don't even like the word inner voice, but it's a inner unction. It's an inner feeling. When I'm driving down the road and I say, Lord, where do you want me to be today? What town should we go to next? And I drive and I pray, and all of a sudden a thought comes in my mind, and it's the thought, you know how a thought comes in your mind? And the thought says, Billings. Didn't hear an audible voice, didn't see it in the sky, didn't even hear it audibly in my voice. It was a thought. And it was the conscience. It's a conscience. Kind of like if I was about to sin, and all of a sudden I go, oh, I know this is wrong. The conscience. So this is how Jesus manifests himself to us, via that conscience. And we follow his word and the spirit. And I love this part. People say I'm prideful and I boast a lot. I'm not prideful. I do boast a lot. I boast in Jesus Christ. And I tell Jesus people this all the time. In John 14, 26, I think it is. He doesn't say that the Spirit will teach you a little truth. It doesn't say the Spirit's going to teach you some truth. It doesn't say the Spirit will get most of it. It says the Spirit will teach you all truth. So when people say, wow, you act like a guy that's got all the truth of God. I do, because I'm not lacking. I've got the Word. I've got the Spirit. I've got Yeshua. I've got people that will test me to the Word of God. I've got a conscience that guides me. And if I'm wrong, this Holy Spirit, Marcus and Justin, is not going to leave me in sin. What kind of Holy Spirit leaves you in sin and false ways? They're following a false spirit, and they live in ungodliness, worldliness. So that's the gospel.
Do you feel eternal life. Do you feel we're called to love them in this?
Love who are we talking? Okay, false so teachers.
You love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes. So there's different categories.
What's the approach when?
We go to the scriptures. So we have different categories of how we treat people based on God's love. So we have, Justin and I were just talking about, you have the homeless guy in the gutter that's a drunk. You don't walk up and rebuke him. He's not claiming Jesus. He doesn't know anything. He'll admit to you, I'm a big sinner. Mm-hmm. You go up and you preach the gospel to him. He needs a hand up out of the gutter to say, come, yeah, right. come, seek Yeshua, we'll help you, right? Now, if you go up to the person sitting on the park bench and you witness the gospel to him, they go, I'm Baptist. I got it. What are you talking to me for? And you go, well, can we go a little deeper? I'd like to help you go deeper. What's wrong with the Baptist faith? I'm acting out because they get this way. What's wrong with the Baptist faith? Well, they don't teach you the biblical gospel. They teach you once saved, always saved. I believe in once saved, always saved. I raised my hand when I was 5 years old. I'm going to heaven no matter what I do. And I said, that's not really the gospel. And they push back against God's word and they begin to lie about God's word and they're teaching heresy. Do I treat them the same as that guy? What they get is a loving rebuke and to say, listen, you're in false doctrine. I love you. My website, I'm supposed to teach. Jesus said, go preach the gospel, Mark 16. And in Matthew 28, he said this, make disciples. That's what I strive to do with my website. And we travel all over. We do it online. We do it in person when we can. We'd love to help people start home fellowships. And then he said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. You won't hear hardly anybody teach that. Because they go, all that doctrine, head coverings for a lady, that's not important. Yes, it is. The Bible teaches that. Oh, coming out of the culture, that's not important. Yes, it is. The Bible says if you're friends with the world, James 4:4, you're God's enemy.
Yeah, right.
So there's different levels. So that man gets love and he gets shown the love. He gets called to repent. He gets called to come to the Messiah. That guy gets instruction in where he's wrong, called to repent. He's told that we love him. Now let's move to the false teacher, John Fuchs. Teaching and deceiving. The Bible says clearly in 1 Timothy 5, those who sin, rebuke them in public so others may see and fear. In Romans 16, 17, it says this, anyone who is divisive, now people will call me divisive. You might say, wow, he seems kind of divisive. Read the scripture, Romans 16, 17, if anyone who is divisive, then it tells us why, who leaves sound doctrine. You're divisive. When you leave sound doctrine, Paul says, mark them, warn them, avoid them. So if I'm a false teacher, you're to come to me in love and say, listen, I tested your doctrines. You're wrong. You're in grave danger. You're a teacher. You're held to a high standard. You're not like the guy in the gutter that's not even claiming Jesus.
Right, right.
You're going to get a stern rebuke because I love you. And I push back and you go, listen, I can have nothing to do with you. 1 John says, don't even wish a false teacher Godspeed. Don't even say, have a good day. Say, away from me. I rebuke you. You need to repent. Now that serves a purpose. If you're my brother and you're in sin, Jesus said, go to him one alone, like with the mistress.
I just did that. I followed that order.
And if I give it up, it's gone. Done. You and I are in unity. God's glorified. If I go no, you're supposed to bring other brothers with. And go, hey, we have a testimony here. You tell all these brothers what you told me, that you're not going to leave that mistress or that sin or whatever. If I still won't listen, if we're in a body of believers, you take me to the whole body. Jesus, as loving as he is, they all say he's just love, 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 love. He forgives everything, he overlooks, he winks at sin. What did Jesus say to do? Put him out like a publican if he won't listen. This is how we keep the body pure. So I hope that answers your question. Levels. Mm-hmm. The false teachers get stern rebuke. People in false doctrine get a loving rebuke. The world gets a call to come to the biblical Savior. And if any of those people will listen, like if Sean came out here and he'd listen to me, I'll preach to him. I'll tell him I love him. I'll tell him where he's wrong, what he's got to do, his false Jesus, and I'll give him an opportunity. And if he goes, no, man, I think Joel Johnson and all those signs and wonders, Kundalini spirit, you know about that? They do this. You come up to the altar, they pray with you, and they lay their hand on your forehead, and people are falling down and they're shaking on the ground. Oh, look at the Holy Spirit doing that. Do you know I have videos on my website on his testing? Do you know the Hindus do that same exact thing? The Hindu gurus. I got videos of it. They lay their hand on people's heads, and that spirit that they're, it's called the serpent spirit. That's what they call it. It's called the serpent spirit. They believe there's a spirit in your spine, and that guru can bring it up to your head, and people go, Nirvana. You know what Nirvana is? They go into Nirvana, and sometimes they twitch. That's what they're doing in the Pentecostal world. Kundalini spirit, Satan, has entered man-made religion. And that's why I stand against it and call it out. So you go read John the Baptist. He was not a guy you'd sit on a picnic table with and go, wow, what a swell guy. He was a hard man of truth, a preacher of righteousness. Go look at how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. You bag of dead men's bones, you white tomb sepulchers, you snakes. So, and I just had to rebuke a man yesterday in love. And he said, wow, that's kind of hard. He goes, that people don't take it well. I said, I don't expect you to take it well or take it bad. I expect the Holy Spirit of God to convict you. This is the goal. Redemption is always the goal. The guy in the gutter, I want to redeem him. That Baptist guy, I want to redeem him. Sean Fuchs, I want to redeem him. Done differently, but the goal is the same, to redeem him to Christ. That's true love. If I let him stay in his sin and I don't call it out, do I really love him? No. Even though I know it's going to cause division? Jesus said in Matthew 10, what did he come to bring? Sword. A sword, which is the word, Hebrews 4:12. Not a big kumbaya, we all just get along. So what I do is not popular. The word of God is not popular. Standing against these false places, standing against false doctrine that deceives. This guy's making big inroads with high schoolers because it's all emotionalism.
You think that you can lead him back to that?
I can't. I told this guy, it was an Eastern Orthodox guy yesterday. He goes, You rebuking me isn't going to lead me back to God. I said, I don't lead you back to God. How did people come to God? Spirit. So my goal is, I go out, proclaim the word, proclaim the gospel. My goal is, I say, Father, do your work with the Spirit. And then your will has to kick in. So and isn't it a beautiful thing? A marriage is a recipe. That's not one thing. And we got married on a Saturday. Oh, that's it. We're married, right? No. It's a recipe. Every day. Love, honor, faithfulness, obedience, caring, looking after, faithfulness. It's an everyday thing. They make salvation a one thing. Run to the altar. Pray to this Jesus. Congratulations, you're going to heaven no matter what. And they go back in the world and they're playing their vile video games, watching football, living like the rest of the world. That's not transformation. Transformation is an inward work that comes on the outside. I look different because my heart was transformed. And then my outsides are transformed. Let me share something with you. I wear a tunic-like garment. Do you know why? You're going to appreciate this. You know why? Because all the way back in Genesis 3, God ordained, do you believe marriage is just between a husband and a wife? Do you believe marriage is between a husband and a wife? Just what God ordained between man and a woman? Or you believe women can marry women and men can marry men?
Oh, no, I'm not. I don't think that. I think that.
So God put Adam and Eve together. Yeah. That was his plan, right? That happens in Genesis 2. People hold to it today. Sean Fuchs does. He's got one wife. You know what happened in Genesis 3? Adam and Eve sinned. This is beautiful. Adam and Eve sinned, and they hid. God finds them. The fourth thing God does after they sin, one sin took the world down. Now remember that. If you carry or I carry one sin willfully, that took the whole world down. Don't ever think, oh, God's just going to overlook my sin. God does not overlook sin. He's holy. He's righteous. That's why he sent Jesus to purge it from us, to cleanse us, and then say, now, come on, follow me. Do better than that. Don't sin no more, Marcus. Don't sin no more, Justin. Don't sin no more. Yeah. So God saw them, and they had put on, and do you study the Greek and the Hebrew words?
I do.
You should. That's very good.
I do too.
If you go get online, look at like a Strong's Concordance, and you can look up the actual words, and it shows you the Greek and the Hebrew. They put on aprons. In Hebrew, the word is apron. Now, if my wife or you or I just had an apron on, we're almost naked. It doesn't hardly cover you. God dresses mankind. This is beautiful. And you know what the Bible says? He took coats of animal skins. Now, either you guys ever hunt or anything?
Yeah.
What do you got to do to an animal this day? You got to kill it and shed its blood. God, God sheds blood, archetype of Jesus, to cover us. Mm-hmm. Our clothing is not a fashion statement.
It's not
to fit in with the culture. God, the creator of the universe, dressed us, and look up the Hebrew word, it means a tunic. And what the tunic does is it covers us so we don't have to look at people's forms. You ever get tired of having to look at the ground, not look at women's bodies? Right? And my wife has to do the same. I mean, we're humans. Yeah. You go, oh man, that guy's naked. Put your head down. Oh, that woman. We were at a Whirly Music Christian Festival. This woman came walking up, and I don't want to be too graphic, but literally, her breasts were hanging out. And I was talking to another guy, and I went, and I mean, you know, I'm not a prude. I understand if someone comes up, they're not a biblical Christian, but I refused to talk to some woman with her breasts hanging out. So I turned, and my wife stepped up and started talking to her. My point is, God clothed us in a tunic-like garment, and then I have a study on this on my website. Look under apparel. Every single godly person after that point, it never changed. That was pre-Torah law. Marriage is pre-Torah law. Yeah. Pre-Torah law. Here's one. God told Noah, don't eat blood. That's for all of us. You, when you kill an animal, you better bleed it out, because if you're eating that blood in the meat, God said don't do it. Why?
I'm day 7, no meat.
Okay, well.
My goal is.
Yeah, that's
I really would like to.
That's fine. You have liberty to do that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that's a doctrine, but you have liberty. Yeah. You have liberty to do that. So make sure you drain out the meat, because God told Noah in Genesis 9:4, I believe it is, don't eat meat, or don't eat the blood. And you know why? Because life is in the blood. God doesn't want us. Yeah, life is in the blood.
Right? We're covered in the blood.
So now we're covered. This is an archetype of Jesus. Noah built a wooden ark. That wooden ark is a beautiful archetype of Jesus. Noah had to build it. He was building his faith in God. He had to get in. He had to ride out the wrath of God in this ark that floated him above.
This is the ark.
Jesus is our ark. Okay. Jesus is our ark. We get in him spiritually when we're born again. So that tunic, go look through. All the prophets wore them. All the godly men wore them. Get to the New Testament, and it says it. I have my articles cover this. Jesus wore them. The disciples all wore them. You're promised a robe of righteousness in eternity. Jesus is coming back in a robe. Women are told to wear in 1 Timothy 2. This is where it's really important to study the Greek and the Hebrew. Do you use like a King James Bible?
I do.
Okay.
King James. I do have a concordance. Greek, Hebrew, and Arabic.
Good. King James is a decent translation. It's one of the better English translations.
My family members told me to read.
Yeah. Test all of it though. Here, let me give you an example. 1 Timothy 2:9. You know how it tells women to dress? In the English? Dress in modest apparel. That's what it says. Go read it. Dress in modest apparel. Now, have you seen the culture change in your short lifetime? What's considered modest apparel is always changing. Right? Look at these women wearing yoga pants. They might as well just spray their body.
Yeah, it's true.
And pastors tell me, well, they're modest, their skin's covered. And I go, go look at the Greek. You know what it actually says? Neat, orderly robes, dresses. So if a woman wears a dress that's not form-fitting and loose, you can't see her body.
I'm glad. This is. I needed to hear this.
That's God appointed.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. God appointed.
He's been speaking to me, and I've been shown certain men who are following, who are dressed, and that's my approach. I'm gonna have.
Yeah. Whoever they are. Again, there's a lot of people. Again, this is not going to get you to heaven. This is an expression. Test their doctrine. Because I know a lot of guys that dress biblical, and they're heretics. They're teaching. Some of them don't even believe Jesus is God. They're teaching false doctrines. So always, no matter how somebody looks, You know, if a guy walks up to you and he's in skinny jeans and he's got yellow hair and he's all dressed like the world, you can have a good idea, if he's a pastor, that there's something not right in his heart. He hasn't gone very deep. Now, if a guy shows up in a tunic and he looks like he walked out of the Bible, you go, you know, I think he's got that dress right. Doesn't mean his theology is right. He could still be a cult member.
I feel when the Lord's leading me, he'll show me through signs.
Well, be careful of signs. See, we don't follow signs. You want to go to the Word. Let me give you a quick thing. This guy, Sean Fuchs, look up the testing. You know what he follows? Numerology. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah. What? Book to hell, right there.
Yeah, it is. Numerology. Let's see. Wow, today I feel like, wow, I seen 2 4s together. Yesterday I saw 2 4s. God, if you want me to be in this town, show me 2 4s. Hey, there's 2 4s on that license plate. See how I'm following numbers, signs, and wonders? That's numerology. God in Deuteronomy frowns against that. So don't look for that. That's of Satan. I'm not saying you're of Satan. I'm saying that following.
Well, that's
careful
it.
Of signs. Now,
when I passed by, I saw your sign.
Yeah. Yeah, when you said signs, I was thinking of Sean. He follows numerology. He gets a hotel room, and his lucky number is 222. So when he gets a hotel and they give him 222, he goes, I got a picture of him. He goes, this is my day. That's an omen. God says, don't trust in that. Don't look at it. It's like astrology. Don't do that. Now, if you mean signs, like, yeah, God, give me an inner peace about this. And give me an understanding in my soul that this is what you want me to do. If you're talking about that kind of sign, God can do those things.
Well, what I meant was I feel like if I am called or being led to change the clothes that I wear.
Yep.
Right. So let me ask you, what made you want to wear the clothes?
Well, I was a salesman, if you can believe this, working for a $1 billion company. Every 2 years, I got a $40,000 car. They were throwing tons of money in my 401k. I made a great salary, great benefits. I became a born-again Christian. My boss was a Lutheran, and he was so a lukewarm Christian, believed in Jesus. That was about it. I got convicted about my clothing, and this is the path I went on. So I was wearing business khakis, polo shirts tucked in, like all the rest of the salesmen. Well, I got convicted. So at the time, I was a young baby Christian. I was like, well, I'm not just going to run and quit my job. So I bought the biggest, baggiest polo shirt. I love to tell this story. And this is how God moves you along. I bought the biggest, baggiest polo shirt I could buy. And I untucked it. And it went down to about my knees. I'm not a big, tall guy. It went down to about my knees. My boss calls me out one day. I said, what? He goes, what's that? And I said, what do you mean, John? He goes, what's that? I said, you know I'm born again Christian. I witnessed to him. He listened. He's like, I'm a Lutheran. I don't care. We're all going to heaven. I said, no, John. Anyway. I said, you know, John, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, the Bible teaches we're to cover our forms. I said, I'm convicted of that. I said, so I'm going to be wearing a loose polo shirt like this. And he goes, you look sloppy. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Jesus and Paul wore this, and John the Baptist. I said, if they showed up in your office, would you call them sloppy? He goes, all right. He goes, you dead set on this? I said, I am, John. I said, my faith is more important to me than anything. That was the beginning of the end of my job. If I didn't start to change my wardrobe, I might still be there with a lot more money, not talking to you and not preaching the gospel. I was brave enough to, and it eventually cost me a job. They fired me. About 2 years later, they fired me. They told me my position was dissolved, but they fired me.
Okay.
And so I read it in scriptures, I studied it, and I began to obey, to clothe my temple. Anything you know is truth, to not do, James says, is sin. And here's a big key, you got to go. Whatever God's showing you, whatever God enlightens from this conversation, make sure you study it in the Word, meditate on it, okay? Make sure you understand it. So there's three things. You read it, you study it, meditate on it, make sure you understand it. Some people read it, few people meditate, hardly anybody really understands it. Obey it. Everybody's reading the scriptures. Nobody's fully obeying it. Here, all these people are believing in a Jesus. They have a false Jesus. They're not following him and obeying him. I want you to follow and obey. You got my phone number.
Thank you, brother.
You got my phone number, my website. I have a teaching blog, tons of articles, audios, videos, all for free. I don't take anyone's money. Don't want your money. I want you to go deep in the scriptures. And if you want Bible study, I travel the country all over. I'll make time to Bible study with you guys. Take you to the Word. I'm approachable, I'm teachable, I'm testable, and I will be the best brother you ever had if your desire is to seek truth. Yeah. I love you, man.
Yeah.
Come on back. I'm going to be preaching here.
I'll be here.
Oh, you're going to be here. I'm going to be preaching.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can just pour it out of that jug.
No, no, no. We don't drink that water. Yeah, that's witch call water. We get it at like these campground places.
Oh, okay. So